the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Lord be with us all as we prepare to worship him in spirit and in truth. God knows the innermost thoughts of our hearts. In sorrow for our sin, we turn to him for mercy and for grace. You raise the dead to life in the spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You bring pardon and peace to the broken in heart. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. You make one by your spirit the torn and divided. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May God forgive us our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O God, the strength of all those who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because through the weakness of our mortal nature we can do no good thing without you, grant us the help of your grace, that in the keeping of your commandments we may please you both in will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the Exodus. بنی اسرائیل رفیدیم را ترک گفتند و درست 3 ماه پس از خروجشان از مصر به بیابان سینا رسیدند و در مقابل کوه سینا اردو زدند. موسی برای ملاقات با خدا به بالای کوه رفت. خداوند از میان کوه خطاب به موسی فرمود: دستورات مرا به بنی اسرائیل بده و به ایشان بگو شما دیدید که من با مصری ها چه کردم و چطور مانند عقابی که بچه‌هایش را روی بالها می‌برد شما را برداشته پیش خود آوردم. حال اگر مطیع من باشید و عهد مرا نگه دارید، از میان همه اقوام شما قوم خاص من خواهید بود، هرچند سراسر جهان مال من است. اما شما برای من ملتی مقدس خواهید بود و چون کاهنان مرا خدمت خواهید کرد. موسی از کوه فرود آمد و بزرگان بنی اسرائیل را دور خود جمع کرد و هر چرا که خداوند به او فرموده بود به ایشان باز گفت. همه قوم یک صدا جواب دادند: هر چه خداوند از ما خواسته است انجام می دهیم. موسی پاسخ قوم را به خداوند عرض کرد. For the word of the Lord, thanks be to God.
Sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. A reading from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. For the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May the Lord be with you as we hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus; Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Today, I want to talk about Paul's idea of justification by faith, referred to in our second reading, which is the central pillar of his letter to the Romans. In using this term, Paul is drawing a bold contrast with justification through works under the law. justification through good works, defined through a moral or religious law, is a universal pattern in all human culture. It suggests that God or the gods are watching our behaviour, will look with favour on our good works and with anger on disobedience and sin, rewarding the former with crops, wealth, children, good fortune in this life and the next, and punishing the latter. There is a vivid image in Islam of two angels, one sitting on your left shoulder, the other on your right, one counting your good deeds, the other your sins, and both submitting their accounts on the Day of Judgment. And whilst the gods judge in eternity, here and now in this life, the power to judge, to praise or exclude, is delegated to religious leaders. Paul's insight, by contrast, is that in the new Christian world, the law helps us only to the extent that it makes clear to us that we can never be saved by our own efforts, by our works. It's a sign which makes clear our captivity and our need for the freedom which is beyond. And that freedom, the kingdom of heaven, is where we find the unconditional love of God, revealed in all his creation, and most particularly through the teaching and the self-giving of Christ. We receive and enter into this promise through the gift of faith, which we receive from God. Paul, trained as a Jewish rabbi, is the first to express this truth in writing, but he does not invent it. Firstly, it is there, in partial and implicit form, in the Hebrew Scriptures. The Judaism in which Paul grew up is both supremely a religion of the law as the path to salvation, but also one which yearns for the mercy of God beyond it. For again and again, the Israelites turn away from their God, and yet while sometimes they are punished, each time God renews his covenant with them. Today's first reading from Exodus is, in a way, an illustration. Newly arrived in the wilderness, the people hear God speaking again his covenant through Moses, and they reply, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." It's a moment rich in dramatic irony. For those listening who had grown up hearing this story know just how fleeting that obedience would prove. Justification by faith finds full expression in the teachings and life of Jesus, for he welcomes especially those excluded by the law into the kingdom of heaven and into its freedom and its fullness. The good news is received firstly in forgiveness and healing by those whose hearts are open to the gift of faith and to its promise. And at the same time, Jesus condemns those teachers of the law who, as he says in Matthew 23, tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others and lock people out of the kingdom of heaven, for you do not go in yourselves, and when others are going in, you stop them. This free entry through faith alone into the kingdom of heaven is at the heart of the message proclaimed by the early church at Pentecost, and then by Paul. However, the instinct to try and earn God's love through works re-emerges in the medieval church with its doctrine of purgatory, reduced by indulgences. At the Reformation, Luther preaches again justification by faith alone, which he describes as the one firm rock and the chief article of the whole Christian doctrine. Once more, in Protestantism, works reappear. For as J.C. Ryle, a Church of England bishop, puts the argument, we are justified by faith without the deeds of the law, but the truth of our faith will be tested by our lives. And so, works becomes not our justification, but the means by which the genuineness of our faith is assessed, which in practice amounts pretty much to the same thing. The church today still struggles with the instinct toward good works as a means of justification. For myself, I recall a look from a senior cleric when I admitted that I do not say the daily office, that mark of diligent priesthood. On other issues, I will doubtless have given similar looks in my turn. So it seems in every generation we find it hard to accept that we are justified by the miraculous gift of faith, and through it God's complete and unconditional acceptance of us. It is as if we can't quite bring ourselves to believe something as good as this. And so we lay those heavy burdens on our own shoulders and on those of others. I picture us, like children on Mother's Day morning, going into her bedroom, holding the gifts we have made with nervous pride, watching for the approval we desire, watching also that our sibling does not receive more than we, and of course our mother and God also loves the gifts we bring entirely because it is we who bring them. It all begins and ends with relationship, with love. Amen.
We believe in God the Father,
for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named.
We believe in God the Son,
who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love.
We believe in God the Holy Spirit,
who has strengthened us with power from on high.
We believe in one God,
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Almighty God, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. We pray for your church throughout the world, and for David and Mark, our bishops in Manchester. In their ministry at Holy Innocents, we pray for Richard and Jane. Strengthen them, and all your church, that those who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory to the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we pray for the world, for forgiveness, for the damage inflicted upon it through warfare, and mankind's greed for power and wealth. Humble world leaders to acknowledge our human dependency on the resources of your creation. Enlighten them that they may seek unity and peace and develop policies which promote a new and shared prosperity. We pray for the powerless, who are threatened by climate change or left destitute in war-torn countries. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Forgiving Lord, look with pity upon this nation, fearful of disease and adrift from political and economic stability. We pray, especially at this time, that you will guide us as we adapt to living in a multiracial society and to understanding different points of view about our history. uphold in wisdom and integrity our elected political representatives and those who administer justice. Show us how best we can help to strengthen those institutions and the legislation which protect the civil and political liberties of us all and make us equal before the law. We pray for the victims of modern forms of enslavement and in our neighbourhood for young people controlled by criminal gangs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Compassionate Lord, comfort and heal those who are ill or in any kind of distress. We bring before you people who are ill in hospital or at home, including by name, Daphne Broadbent, Thomas Elliot Chingham, Mirza Mamari, Khadija Khan, Dorothy Allen, John Ronan, Ian Barron, Kath Elbra, Gerard Hyam, Jill Lynch, Gail Jacobson, Yvette Gray, Jeremy Davis, Beth Fletcher, Matthew Bassey, Lawrence Smith, Sandra Smith. Give them courage and hope in their trouble, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Hear us as we remember those who have died recently and those whose anniversaries fall at this time. William Gentry, Walter Henschel, George Rigby, Ernest Hayes, Kenneth Ramsay. According to your promises, grant us with them a share in your eternal kingdom. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. May the peace of the Lord be with you and with us all.
We hail the glorious Lord, O Christ.
Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this bread to set before you, fruit of the earth and work of human hands. It will become for us the bread of life. Blessed be God for ever. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this wine to set before you, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will become the cup of our salvation. Blessed be God for ever. Join with me as I go before the altar of God, the God of our salvation, to the God who lifts up my life. May all our hearts be lifted to the Lord in thanks and praise, for this is right and just. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit he took flesh. As your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin, he lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us, and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of James, the holy innocents and all the saints, may praise and glorify you for ever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed.
Let all mortal flesh keep
with the faithful in my church and across the world, wherever the Eucharist is being celebrated, may I offer praise and thanksgiving.
As you are present in the bread and wine, so I believe you are present with me now, sustaining me in body and soul, to witness to you day by day. Let me live and die in your love. Let me reflect your love for me in my love for others.
Come, Lord Jesus, live in your servant in the fullness of your strength, in perfect holiness and truth. in your living power over all evil and threat, through the power of the Holy Spirit and to the glory of God the Father. Blessed and praised be Jesus Christ in the heights of heaven and in this most holy sacrament. Amen.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, we thank you for nourishing us with these heavenly gifts.
خداوند ازلی، تو را سپاس می‌گوییم که ما را تغذیه کردی با این عطایای آسمانی.
May our communion strengthen us in faith, build us up in hope, and make us grow in love. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord.
باشد که این آیین دینی ما را در ایمان استوار سازد، ما را امید بخشد و ما را در محبت رشد دهد به واسطه خداوندمان عیسی مسیح.
آمین. Welcome to you all who are listening to this, wherever you are. It's one of the unexpected gifts of this lockdown that we can share our worship and our prayers so much more widely. I have just one notice, which is to tell you that we are working out how we might open the church soon for private prayer. At the time I'm recording this, we have some ideas as to how we might do this as safely as possible, but we do not yet have clear guidance from the Church of England. As soon as we have a plan, we'll share it on the website, by email and by WhatsApp. So a final blessing. May Christ, who has nourished you with himself, the true and living bread, make you one in praise and love, and raise us up on the last day, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in the peace of Christ. Thanks be to God.